It was everywhere. Not just a carpet of grass, but a cascading emerald as deep as her eye could see. The bushes were thick, the bark of the towering trees covered in nets of ivy. The assembly of leaves rustled softly overhead, their movements intermittently obscuring the night sky.
"What is this place?"
Siri asked. It was so warm. The days had been unbearable in the desert, but at least the nights had cooled off. Here it was hot again. The heat felt different, damp somehow. Moisture weighed on her skin, making her dirty and ripped rust dress cling to her even more. Cole stared down at her, his expression unfathomable.
"The outskirts of the new city of the damned."
Orange lamps dangled from strings tied at head height from the looming branches, the glow warming the marble planes of his face and brightening his dark hair from black to deep brown. He seemed more at ease here. Cole and Scylla had saved her from Queen Lyra's attempted sacrifice at the altar, but Scylla had stayed behind with the surviving priestesses. So now, it was just the two of them. Standing here in this completely foreign landscape, the nerves that had previously lost out to tiredness resurfaced. She scanned the forest clearing, seeing two exits. Back through the gate, or a small dirt track leading to who knew where. She fidgeted with her sleeve, her body tense. Nothing good came of them being alone together. The first time they met, back at the ball, she had murdered a close friend of his. Hardly a good first impression. She tried not to think of her true first impression of him before she discovered he was the Lord of Death. The most handsome man she'd ever seen. Then he bought her for the sand mines, promising her a fate worse than death, and she had never hated someone more. The final time he tried to buy her off as a spy, as she lay close to death in his cursed desert. Whatever this new and Taeus trust was, they'd built it on little more than a mutual enemy. Although, that wasn't entirely true. He'd told her there was a better reason to save her. Seemingly, she had some strange, unconscious ability to grow plants out of nothing. It had happened exactly once, as far as she was aware. But it was interesting enough to Cole to keep her alive. For now. Suri saw nothing resembling a city.
"The air is different."
"We're on an island."
Cole removed his cloak, resting the black cloth over his toned forearm.
"In the seas to the east of Peregrinus."
On an island? She didn't even know there were islands east of Peregrinus. Before you hit Cannes, anyway. She'd heard no one speak of it.
"What? But that's so..."
"Far?"
She nodded. He shrugged.
"It was a lot of death."
Suri swallowed. Razel Waterborne, the ice prince and son of the Water Guild leader Ressa, had explained this to her. Gates, like the one they had just stumbled through, needed death magic to link them. The greater the number of casualties, the greater the distance the gates could link. Two gates, connected by death, allowing the traveller to pass from one to the other in a single step. Thousands of people dying 100 years ago fueled the gate beside her. It felt like a myth to her, the legend of the Wrath, the god that had wiped out a population and withered the land to a cursed desert. But Cole was born into it. Until a few hours ago, she had thought him part of the cause. She'd believed what everyone had, that a fey witch used the birth of her son, Cole, to invoke the death god, Sotolidi, unleashing his evil into the world. Now she didn't know what to believe. Cole said that his mother was a life priestess, not a witch of death, and that it was her murder, at Queen Lyra's hands, that caused the life god, Diaphage, to seek revenge upon the world. Sotolidi had not caused the wrath. Diaphage's grief had. Either way, this gate only existed because Cole had channeled the deaths of all those people.